Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bikaji Foods International Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Hazel Rathore. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for Bikaji Foods International Quarter 3 and 9 Months FY25 Earnings Conference Call. From the management, we have with us Mr. Rishabh Jain, CFO, and Mr. Manoj Verma, COO. I now request Mr. Rishabh Jain to take us through the key opening remarks, after which we can open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello. Hello to all investors. Thank you for joining the investor call. So overall, it's a very challenging quarter for all FMCG. However, we've seen consumption trend are moving up in the fourth quarter, January. Also, we've seen some positive sign in budget for middle class in reducing income tax and other factors, which will also have some positive sign for economy in the next year. So this quarter, we've grown close to 12% in sales and overall revenue from operation growth of 14.5% compared to last year. The operating margin was at pressure in third quarter. And from September onwards, we've seen oil prices have started moving up, and sudden increase in palm oil taxes from government has impacted overall pricing of palm oil and overall all the edible oils. Largely, this has impacted overall gross margin in fourth quarter. Gross margin pressure was we tried to pass on the prices to consumers, and we've taken some price hike in third quarter, as well as we're also evaluating price hike in fourth quarter. Also, there was a key pressure of potato. Like you will see that our Russian snack sales has grown at a subdued percentage, 0%, largely. This was a conscious call which we as a management has taken largely because potato prices increased substantially in Western snack chips like their potato and oil. That's two key commodities, and both the prices have increased substantially. So we have subdued the production in third quarter, which has also impacted the revenue close to 1.5%. It's good to see the YTD numbers because sweet is largely delayed. This year Diwali was in end of October, versus last year Diwali was in 10th of November. So there was some pre-sweet sales in second quarter this year. So overall, our revenue growth in YTD numbers is close to 17%, and overall when we remove AI, it's close to 15% versus 11% volume growth. Our EBITDA margin stands at close to 11.1%, a gross margin 32%. From manufacturing lens, it's the same. We have not increased any major capacity and trying to utilize the capacity as soon as possible to have close to 65-70% so that operational efficiency comes in at overall level. From planning the distribution level, so largely that's the core of distribution. We have always started to increase the direct reach, and we further gained the distribution and have reached close to 11.5 million outlets in a total, and as direct reach for perspective, we are close to 3 lakh outlets, close to 2.8 lakh outlets this year, which is the fundamentals for any agency, and that's what we are targeting. So marketing lens, Manoj, you can.
Yeah, so marketing campaign, what we did then, which was a big one, Bikaji Khao London Job, which ended on 31st of December, did pretty well for us, and that was a savior. Because if you look at, you know, when you go through the presentation, you would see that volume growth is just 3%. But actually speaking, if we look at revenue, volume growth is 8%. That's the right number. It is because on the back of last year quarter 3, within 10% extra was going, so 10% was non-revenue volume. But then that sits in the way, so therefore it looks 3%. Otherwise, revenue volume growth is 8% for us. So this promo indeed helped us do better. We got very good penetration, able to increase our weighted distribution with these kind of this campaign what we did. We used all communication vehicles. We used few celebrities like Daljeet Dosanjh and all, and this expanded across country, so all the states and about 3600 cities. The winners who benefited of this promo is to the tune of 634,000 winners who got something or the other out of this promotion. Festive campaign we did, so our gift pack is very well. However, what is the answer I'm talking overall, so the right way to look at gifting and fees is a sum total of quarter 3 and quarter 2. Because of Diwali being, little here and there kind of stuff, but overall, it was a good business on gifting for Bikaji per se. Talking about volume growth, now we look at quarter 3. So, the reported growth is 3%, but if we look at revenue volume growth, is 8% for this quarter. Ethnic snacks grown at 10.5%, packaged sweets at 11.2% revenue growth. Western snacks where the growth is flat, it's just 0.8%, but that was the conscious call which we took, and as Rishabh just spoke about, because there it was bottom line erosion as we sell more. Both potato and oil, which are the key ingredients for this product, were on the peak of it, and it was not practically possible to pass as much prices. And this is one reason that if you see the results of any other listed company in this category, would have surely bleeded for that stuff. Papad again now at a 9.6% growth in this quarter. It's more relevant to see, look at the continuity that YTD, so last 9 months, volume growth is 11%, but here again, if I just look at revenue volume, so it's a 13.3%, which is in line with what we've been talking. Our revenue overall, revenue from operations is 17.1%. Ethnic snacks sitting at 12.2% growth. Package fees, as I said, that it's the right way to look at quarter 3 and quarter 2 together. So at a YTD basis, package fees is 17.5% growth. Western snacks, which if you look at just quarter 3 in isolation, is at a 0 growth. However, at a YTD number, it's a 16.5% growth. So which speaks about, the kind of demand which exists across all, we took and we did not do that. In fact, H1, if I look at it, is a 28% plus growth kind of one. So which is what now, with softening of prices in potato and also the oil, you will see this in the coming quarter, this will all be made up. Papad is a 15.3% growth on a YTD basis. So has a strong momentum going forward. In terms of if we look at our product mix, so it is broadly, in line with what it was last year. So 62.9% it was last year quarter 4. For Namkeen and Bhujia put together, which is now at 62.1. So only thing if I, if you refer to this sheet of ours, is the Western snack contribution. So last year if we look at it quarterly, it was 7.5%, which has come down to 6.8%, and this is what I spoke about, that was a conscious call, rest all categories are in line. In terms of as we talk about that our core focus in other the markets that exports, if we look at in this quarter, core states revenue growth is 10.8%, focus states growing at 14.7%, other states 8.7%, and exports has done good now is at 32.6% growth. At a YTD basis, core states have grown at 11.9%, focus states at 17.1%, and others at 23.7%, exports sitting at close to 21% growth. Our flagship of the continuity on the large pack continues, so the mix of product between impulse and the large pack is 61% from large pack, and 35% coming from impulse pack. Both the family pack and impulse pack has done well in the quarter. So family pack going at 11.6% in Pulse slightly higher at 12.9% growth.
So overall, from revenue lens, we got it close to 14.5%. Yeah, but for the quarter is largely flat. I see the last quarter. From EBITDA lens, our EBITDA is close to 8%. So from raw material lens, of course, edible oil lens has substantially hit us all the FMCG brand, and close to the price has been increased from 100 to one, close to 140 level. And currently it's close to 130, but yeah, overall it's in the peak, it's at the peak currently. But yeah, from this quarter, what we see, it's a good crop, it's a good crop this year. We're seeing good crop in all the commodity, and we've seen that will support overall in fourth quarter. We've seen good pricing, we've done a good pricing support, taken a good long-term PO for all the key commodity, what we already started doing. That will support the margin in coming quarters. We purchase these vegetables are put anything in every. So, it's in good price, good commodity crop this year, in every meat, in every commodity. So, that's all from the presentation. We're happy to answer all the questions and take all the questions here. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on the segment-wise growth numbers. So I see a big divergence between, say, Q3 and 9 months when I see the data. The bigger divergence is between sweets, where there is a 17% growth in 9 months, which drops to 11% in Q3, which means first half, obviously, you already given that number. It's almost 20%. So 20% drops to 11%, and similarly, Western snacks from 16% becomes zero. So here, specific question is, I understand Western snacks, you did call out that conscious call was there because of very low margins. But what happened in sweets? So sweets, essentially, marriage season, always there is a big benefit because of the gifting. And Q3, we have seen whichever category has a high marriage demand, those have done really well. So in your case, if you could discuss in sweets, what is the issue here? And would you expect sweets and Western snacks, even in Q4, to underperform the other two categories for you?
Yeah, I agree. See, packaged sweets, you know, the role of wedding season, of course, is there. But the quantum of gifting in Diwali is by far high. So it's a very small percentage vis-a-vis the Diwali gifting kind of a numbers what we do. Now, what happens is that last year Diwali was on around 23rd of November. 10th, yeah. So later part, when this year it was on 1st of November itself. So this got preponed in quarter two itself because modern trade, which is a very big account for us, our other states and also where sweets is very big. So all these stuff now goes, the preloading starts happening. So this is what is always the case, that you know quarter two and quarter three put together is the right number. Wedding season, also if you look at the wedding season, number of wedding dates are more in quarter one, quarter four vis-a-vis quarter three if we compare over last year. But again, I'm, you know, reiterating on the fact that yes, wedding season plays a role, but it is nowhere close to what gifting in and Diwali means for this category for us.
Also, Abneesh, so your last question was, so for fourth quarter, like Western snacks is running on track, and so the fresh crop is claiming for it too. And so it's on track, and we have again started production, full peak production in Western snacks. And sweets will be also in the same range in fourth quarter. But yeah, fourth quarter sweets will be in a very low, because major sweet production is happening in second and third quarter.
Understood. My second question is on the demand side. So again, here 3% volume growth versus first half early teens growth. It's a dramatic slowdown. And when I see even in Q3, India's largest biscuit company is seeing 6-6.5% volume growth and you are seeing 3% volume growth. So could you tell us, is there some market share loss? And here I'm not referring to the official market share data. It may or may not be relevant. My question here is, what really happened? How much is the impact of the grammage cut, for example, at 5 rupee, 10 rupee price point, if you could take us through that, because there you can't take the pricing growth. And when you compare your 3% growth to India's largest biscuit company at 6-6.5% in the same quarter, we are living in the same quarter, same India, why there is so much of a divergence here? Both are in the snacks category. So if you could tell us how you see near-term volume growth coming back.
Sure, Amit. So one is that, you know, 3% is not a right number to look at. If we speak about our revenue volume growth, so it's 8%. You know, so, and this somehow connects with your grammage cut. So last year in this quarter, all our large packs had 10% extra, which was not the case because of the prices, and any which way that was a, you know, time-bound promo what we had done. So if I look at revenue volume growth, it is 8%. That is one. Second is that Western snacks, you know, the category which contributes about 8% to our business and is at zero growth, right? That's the second reason. So therefore, you know, other than this, if you look at, you know, the ethnic snacks, the other categories are well on track. So there's nothing to, know, which really is concerning or worrying for that stuff. So this is where we are. This number looks low because last year it was 10% extra which was going, which has not gone this year.
And 10% extra is there in Q4 also in terms of base?
Last year, yes, it was. So this was there till Q4. So that's when we ran this promo last year for 6 months.
Okay, understood. So last follow-up here, so essentially at 5 rupee, 10 rupee, what has happened in terms of grammage cut there? And Q4, you expect some recovery because you have said that Western snacks, there is a recovery. So in terms of volume growth?
So, Amish, largely we have taken some grammage cut in 5 rupee, 10 rupee in last week of December. That's what we've done. Q4 also we've seen good crop coming in, good pricing support from raw material side. So we see again good recovery in margin from that time.
One follow-up, where have you seen softness? Because other companies are not having any big softness in palm oil till now. It may have corrected.
No, we have not seen softness in palm oil, but we have seen softness in key commodities, all key commodities.
Okay, thanks. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Percy from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, so this quarter if I look at your ASP, it is around 9% YY. If the volume is 3% and the price is, sales is 12%, it means that the average selling price, either because of reduction of promotion or the price increase itself, whatever be the route or path, but effectively the average selling price has increased by 9%. So, given the actions that you already put in the market, including some changes in December, etc., how much YOY growth in the ASP you expect in Q4?
So, YOY, if we look at, would be around, say, 3% kind of a stuff. So, 1.5% we have already done. And now, 3.5% kind of a growth you will see, ASP growth.
No, sir. 9% is already there in third quarter, so fourth quarter has to be more than 9%, right?
No. So, again, Percy, let me explain it to you. While it looks, you know, 3%, actually it is 8% growth. Revenue volume growth.
Sir, I understand that. I am saying reduction of promotion is also pricing in a way, right? So, the average selling price per kilo has gone up by 9% YOY this quarter. I am saying that some initiatives have happened probably in December and January, which have not fully affected the 3Q. So what would be the ASP growth for Q4, given whatever actions already taken? That is my
question. So more than 1.5% in Q4, what will it
be? Okay, so around 10 to 11%. And given the inflation that you have seen, would that be enough for you to recover the hit on the margins that have happened this quarter, or there would still be some sort of partial hit which would still come in Q4 and maybe can be recovered only in Q1 or Q2?
So largely, that's what we'll do. We'll do 1.5% price increase in February and March first week. That's what we'll do, number one. Number two, we are hopeful that we'll again come at gross margin of close to 30% plus, 31%, and that's what we are. And in next 3 to 4 months, again, we are working on to come at gross margin of all the gross margin for the week. That's what we plan. But yeah, in this quarter, fourth quarter, gross margin quality is plus 30%.
Got it. My second question is on the cost under the gross margin, which is the employee cost and the other expenses. So the employee cost is up around 30%, and other expenses is also up like 21% or so on a sales of 12% growth. So what are the reasons that the growth here is higher than the sales growth in both these line items, and when do we see this normalizing and coming in line with the sales growth? By which quarter that will happen?
So two things basically, this quarter, third quarter, the ad cost in other expense, which is highly largely compared to second quarter, and that's what increasing, that's what major spend was in ad, because it's already booked, there was big speech in specialty, so we need to do the ad, that's what our business is. So that's what one cost which is increasing in this quarter. Number two, from employment, there is ESOP cost, and there is other factory which is getting underutilized, and people cost is big, so that's what any factory which started in last 12 months, the people cost is high, but yeah, when once we see variation up, this will again come at a normal level, to the point, from next year, first quarter, we'll see again normalized growth in employee cost, that's what.
Okay, so by Q1 next year, both other expenses as well as employee cost should grow more or less in line with sales, right?
Right.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from me. All the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Darshit Vora from Asset C Meta Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, please go on.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was that we are having this roadmap of ramping up our capacity to 70% utilization, right? So could you give me some kind of, a roadmap or some internal target wherein how and by what timeline would you be able to achieve this kind of utilization?
See, so largely our target is to grow volume by 14%. That's our target. This quarter was an exception, but our target is to grow volume in 13% at least. And that's what we have built the capacity in the last 3-4 years. And that's what our target is for next 3-4 years.
Okay. Next, how much time did you say?
So next 3-4 years of target, we at least want to grow capacity 14% by 30%.
Alright. Okay. And with respect to margins, so this time we've seen quite a fall. How do you see the raw material prices move from here, and also, by when do you think the margins will be back to our usual numbers?
So, in fourth quarter, we will usually improve a bit from here, because this quarter, an exception, oil prices have increased suddenly and in a month's time. So, it's so that's how we are passing the prices substantially in a term time. But yeah, overall, we see in the next 2 quarters, we will again at our original level. That's what we're talking.
Alright, okay. And finally, just like to close, would it be possible to either give a range or, relatively speak about gross margins across product categories?
Yeah, it's difficult. We can speak on one-on-one on this.
Alright, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Disha Giria from Ashika Institutional Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Disha, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So if I see your third quarter FY25 presentation in terms of core and focus market mix, it clearly states that the focus market has gained year on year in terms of revenue contribution. So can you specify any such particular market that you have gained market share?
So we have gained market share across focus states if you look at, right? So now be it the smaller one like Chhattisgarh, Karnataka, or you look at the large states like UP also for that stuff. This is where it is. So there is a positive movement across these focus states.
So can you specify any quantum of market share increase?
So quantum, see, it is for a large state like the UP, it's a 30 basis point, 60 basis point increase over last year. Whereas, you know, if I speak about smaller state like Chhattisgarh, there is a 300 basis point movement which has happened, but it's a small size of price is not as big kind of a stuff. So it's a very stuff.
Okay. And then your other state contribution has slightly declined. So what is the reason behind that?
So two things. One is that other states, if you look at now in terms of 9 months, you will not see this. Now, stuff this question would not come up, or rather the reverse question would come. But let me tell you, the other states are contribution of sweets and gifting is very high because there we play on the back of model trade. That's our largest business there, right? And you know, quarter three and quarter two, as I was talking about, that there is a shift from quarter three to quarter two which has happened on this stuff. So other states, if you look at on a 9 month YTD basis, stuff, they've grown at 23.7%.
Okay. My next question is, I just wanted a clarification. In your presentation, the volume growth is around 3% and you have mentioned it over the call that the revenue volume growth grew by 8%. So I'm assuming the difference is only, in terms of the grammage changes in your package history. Is my understanding correct?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Alright, okay. Yeah, that is it from my end.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mehul Desai from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. My first question is on the recently acquired hazelnut company. How do you see sales growth panning out for this entity in FY 2026-27, and what is the kind of capex that you would look at in FY 2026-27?
Yeah, so this hazelnut currently is very small and it's just added in end of last quarter, you know. So largely we see that in next year it will be close to 90 to 100 crore rupees top line. That brand can give growing very good. And number two, from capex lens, from overall Bikaji lens, we see close to 40-50 crore of capex, largely to do some to build efficiency in the system. That's what we'll do next year.
45-50 crores.
Yeah.
And will hazelnut require capex?
No. So that will not fund from Bikaji because they already funded largely. So that will very minimal capex because they already have good second facility. They just need open outlets. That's what they need to do, and not major capex in that plan.
Understood. And broadly, this acquisition, it won't be, if the margins are better than our current company level margins.
Margins are better than current company, yeah.
Understood. And lastly, in your core markets, the growth are also, the ethnic snack growth has been in double digits, or is the trend different in terms of segmental growth within core and focus?
No, it's in line with this stuff, and core is relatively even better in this case. So, ethnic snack is done even better here.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Harsh Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello and thank you for the opportunity today. So my question was regarding Delhi. Being a Delhi resident, I can say you were quite there in Diwali season, you know. But I think you kind of trailed off after that. So I want to hear your story, Manoj sir. And also I believe Bikaji's quick commerce and departmental stores presence have been quite low. So I want to hear your commentary. Thank you.
No, certainly yes. I think your observation and what you're talking is in line exactly where we stand. So Delhi, if you look at, you know, all modern trade stores, so which is say be it any Reliance, be it DMart or the large or this thing stuff, you will see our good presence in during Diwali, gifting and all. But yes, in terms of traditional trade coverage, it is by far low, and that's where we are working on. So very soon, you know, when I say very soon, you know, in say couple of quarters from now, you will see a changing trend in Delhi as well.
Yeah, yeah. So one more question, if I please. So can we see further acquisitions, you know, in Delhi area?
So it's a long. We don't see any major acquisition in coming year. That's what our plan is, to grow organically and to utilize the capacity what we have already built. And Delhi is very near to Bikaner. Logistics is not so big in Delhi. So we majorly focus in next year in growing organically. That's what we'll do.
One more question, please. Wouldn't it be better to, you know, open QSRs in Delhi, you know, for more customer engagement and all?
Yeah, you are right. But our major focus is currently in Rajasthan. We'll be opening in Rajasthan to QSR outlets. That's what we'll do. Delhi is maybe next 1.5-2 years, 4.5-2 years, not immediately.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Naitik from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for taking my question. So my question is, can you call out any PLI incentives that we have received in this quarter, and what was it in the last quarter?
So basically, currently we are booking PLI income of close to, this year we'll book PLI close to 14 crore per quarter. And we'll receive PLI from government maybe in this quarter, third quarter by March. And government is very proactive to do all the audits and to release the fund. So by March we'll receive PLI of last year, FY24. That's normally a 1 year lag, filing of claims, audits and everything. So normally that's a 1 year lag. So we'll receive PLI for last year, and for this year we'll receive next year. That's the process.
During this quarter, we have not booked any PLI income in the channel.
We have booked PLI income.
We booked 14 crores, right?
Yeah.
And what was this last year, same quarter?
Same
14 crores, okay.
Yeah.
Also, if you could talk about, you mentioned that you've seen some softness in, you know, the raw materials. So if you could give a little more color on the same, which raw material is actually seeing softness, that would be helpful.
So all key commodity, be it our key commodity like moong dal or potato or peanut, moong dal, all key commodity we've seen softening of prices. Because the fresh crop time, normally December is the time that fresh crop comes in, and we see a good softening of price in this.
That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Nitin from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to check on the QSR initiative. So have you rolled out the stores for the pilot which we were planning to do?
Yeah, so the first QSR are coming in next week, by next week mostly. So in Rajasthan.
Can you help me with the where exactly this will be?
Seeker. Seeker.
Okay, and the second question is with respect to moong dal. So we were hopeful of some benefit coming in here. So any sense you can provide, what is the deflation we see with the new arrival of moong dal?
So normally we've seen close to 14-15% deflation in prices of moong dal compared to last year.
And what is the contribution of moong dal now?
Moong dal contribution is close to 10-11%, but I'll come back with the number.
Sure. Thank you. And lastly, are we looking for any commodity covers in terms of
other than edible oil? We do major cover of most of the commodity, key commodity.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Kumar from Cantor Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. So my question is partly in continuation with the previous participant's question. So as a policy, so do you guys have any mitigating policies with respect to such wild swings in the raw material prices, especially our key materials like palm oil, potatoes, and dals? So do we have a stated policy wherein if we do keep such raw material inventory for a few months or anything on those lines, it would be very difficult to share.
So normally we do, like for key commodity other than edible oil, we do long-term contracts with the vendors to hedge the price, and that's what we started one and a half, two years back largely. And this has helped us in protecting the margin. But yeah, edible oil we normally do for a very, very short time, and normally industry also do the same. So other than edible oil, we normally protect the margin and hedge all the raw materials.
Okay. Thank you. I suppose you can give a rough the state of our raw material basket, as in how much oil or moss dal, potatoes that would constitute as a percentage. Okay. Any rough?
I can come back with the number for each commodity.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Varun Singh from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, sorry I missed your commentary on raw material cost, especially on the palm oil prices. So what is the expectation and outlook over here? And palm oil is what percentage of our total raw material cost basket? If you can help us understand that.
So palm oil currently is also at peak. It's not... Its peak was 140, currently it's close to 130, 132. It's at the peak at now. We see some reduction in import taxes from government, of course, budget it has not came. But yeah, that's what we are hoping. But yeah, overall palm oil we see next two quarters at the same level, 120, 130. And it's a big, overall its contribution is big in our overall purchase.
So, of our total raw material basket, palm oil would be what? Almost 50% of the total cost?
Not 50%, but yeah, overall close to between 20 to 27%.
Okay, understood. And what is the quantum of price hike that we need to, you know, maybe take from here onwards to offset the impact? And can we expect maybe by next quarter, you know, kind of, or when can we expect the margins reflecting our, given that we have the ability and power to take such kind of price hike, if you can give some understanding on that, sir.
So largely in next two quarters, that's what we are working on, that we can come on the margin what we have in last two quarters. That's what we are working on.
Okay, so in October you already took 2 to 2.5% price hike, and more price hike expected. You want to call out anything on that part?
Yeah, largely one price hike is expected. And that's what we'll do. Look at all the business scenario, sales scenario. But yeah, one price hike is expected in a quarter.
Okay, sure. Understood. And the last question is on volume growth. Overall recovery. You highlighted 13 to 15% is the aspiration. So that is that number is very much. On the track, looking at the January month, how the business has gone for us.
Yeah, that's right. So this is well on track and should be in line with what we have said.
Okay, sir, sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Aditya Stambi from Harpy Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Could you please tell me this of how much of our sales are coming through general trade versus modern trade?
Sorry, say again.
So, can you provide us the split of how much of the sales is coming from general trade versus modern trade?
So, general trade is the largest contribution for us, which is about 84%, 84-85% comes from
the general trade, modern trade is about 8%.
Okay, got it. And can you also tell us that how is the price hike being taken up by the customer? Like, do you see them going for an inferior product, a slightly cheaper product, or they are embracing the price increase or the grammage decrease that is being done?
See, I think this is what we spoke about, that we have taken a price increase, and in this coming quarter, or this running quarter, there's a likelihood or there's a plan to take, you know, one more price hike, which would offset, you know, the price increase what we have witnessed on the commodity stuff.
Right. I meant to ask, but how is the customer reacting to it? Do you see that maybe they are switching to a slightly inferior or slightly cheaper product that is available in the market?
No, see, so inflation is, I think, very well spoken and, you know, very well imbibed by all the quality consumers, right? And, you know, even if you look at anyone using edible oils in their houses, they also know the kind of prices what they bring. See, yes, quality customer does not look at it as much, but yes, you know, I think the aspirants or the ACC, C or D, certainly, you know, consumption from at that standpoint would have definitely impacted, but not as much, because, you know, when you sell a brand, the price and that couple of percentage price here and there does not matter as much, as long as it's competitive with the peer group.
Right. Thank you. And could you also, like, give us some flavor on if there are any new products which are being planned on launching, like in sweets or in snacks, or maybe something in slightly healthier segment, like many customers are talking about, maybe not going with the palm oil.
Again, in this category, you know, you keep launching, so let's say, and again, you know, market specific, so for Northeast, we launched, you know, a variant called Tikha Tufan. Right, doing extremely well, but I think till such time it sustains for say 6-8 months. I mean, it doesn't have as much merit to talk about, but yes, these kind of NPDs across, you know, states, we keep doing, and that's what energizes the category and keep the monotony out of it.
Right, okay. And like, suggest some extra comment if you can give about how is the growth in quick commerce, because I think last quarter you mentioned it's around 160% growth, so how is it looking like this quarter?
So e-com, because of small basis what we have, so yes, this quarter again it has grown about 86% growth.
Right, thank you. I think these are all the questions I have. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dharmil Shah from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just a follow-up on the previous participant question. Whenever there is a sudden price hike in raw materials, what is usually the policy that companies follow? I mean, is it immediately increasing the prices for all the products for the family packs, or is it like taking a short-term loss but maybe gain some market share? What is the broad policy that company follows?
So see, the first and foremost, and which is that, you know, one should not lose market share, right? So to protect market share is the biggest one, because if you lose share, regaining share is even a more expensive proposition to do. That's one. But the approach what we follow is that, you know, as we see commodity prices going up, so first is that if there are any kind of schemes running, you know, trade schemes, incentives, all that stuff, so we try and knock it off. That's the first one. Then if we look at, you know, that how further we can, you know, improve our efficiency, so as consumer hit is the last one to take. But trying everything when it comes, and then the if you're not able to make up the threshold, we pass this prices to the consumer. This is how it happens. But this process takes about a month and a half. And also, you know, as my colleague just spoke about that, we do, you know, we have some advanced booking with us. So we can foresee that these price increases are coming, and that leaves us with as much time to prepare. unless and until you know the price increase like what we witnessed in the oil, that which is much, much beyond, you know, what one would have expected.
Understood. So, suppose when there is a price increase or a decrease in the underlying these raw material prices, the price changes that you do in your products, be it price increase or decrease, is it based on the competitor prices or it is more based on the raw material prices?
So both basically. Of course, we look at competitor prices, but normally it takes close 30 to 45 days to pass on the prices. That's what we, as a policy, we see the prices, and then we eventually pass on the prices. But yeah, we also see the competitors because that's important for us to review.
So is there a policy to be offered better prices than competition or at par or some? Any sense there?
So largely at par with the competitor.
Understood. And lastly, some of the previous participants also asked, but what would be the raw material mix? How much would be palm oil, you mentioned 2025? What would be the other key raw materials and the mix?
So, like pulses, so overall total pulses is close to 25-30% overall pulses. Yeah. All the pulses combined.
Palm oil.
I can get back to you with the exact numbers. But yeah, that's overall pulses will be 25-30%. Then there are a lot of material because we are into multi category. That's overall the benefit that anyone, like edible oil is the exception, but yeah, if anyone commodity increase, that doesn't impact much on gross margin. Like we are into sweet, so milk is a big product, sugar is a big product, proper vegetable snacks. So complete, we have multi, 5, 6 categories.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manish Poddar from Invesco Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. So just two questions. First is, let's say if I take, you know, this impulse tax, which are roughly, let's say, you know, give or take 38-40% of sales savings, would it be right? They're largely at, let's say, 10 rupees. And if that is so, you know, what is the sort of, you know, how much is the average grammage, let's say, because there will be multiple categories. What is the average grammage which is now available in a particular product at, let's say, a 5 rupee or 10 rupee price?
Yeah, so first is the small pack or the impulse, what we speak about is 5 rupee and 10 rupee, right? That's what it is. And the average grammage, if you look at in a 5 rupee pack, it would be about 16-18% average if you look at. And for 10 rupee, it would be 2x of that. So that's how it works.
And how does it stack versus the other categories in that same lens? Because I'm not sure how inflation is impacting because there's a basket of products. But let's say at this price point, you know, just if you, because you are in the market and so you'll have much better understanding in terms of, you know, consumption per occasion, is 15 grams, 18 grams a good number versus the other categories in terms of this inflation context?
So I think it's sort of like to like comparison. You know, when you look at the wafers, right? So, wafers would be even, you know, lower volume for that stuff, you know, grammage if you look at. But then again, you know, the namkeens cannot replace the Western snacks or chips or the Korean kind of hot stuff and vice versa. So, it is more, you know, when you look at that, is it a one serving kind of hot stuff or not? So, what we believe is that, you know, 15 beyond, going below the 13-14 grams, you know, in a pack will not suffice even one time serving. So that's where we look at and we compare within our category space itself, so not with different categories in this space.
Okay, so you're at 16-18 grams?
Yeah.
That is what you're trying to say. Okay. Okay. Yeah. And the second one is, let's say in terms of this direct reach. So let's say in the last trailing 12 months, you've added roughly 60,000 outlets. How much of this would be, let's say, in the state of, let's say, Rajasthan, and how much of it will be ballpark in the state of Uttar Pradesh? That would be helpful. This would be helpful.
So I think Uttar Pradesh would be, you know, in line of about 15,000-20,000, and Rajasthan would be about 6,000 kind of a number. Well, I can get back to you state-wise. So often will not be handy, but
yes. This is useful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashish, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Ashish, if you can please unmute your line and ask your question.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have one question. Your qualitative comments on the shift from unorganized to organized sector, especially in light of the inflationary scenario which is happening right now. So does the shift slow down, or how do you think this movement going forward?
So see, this would be purely anecdotal, you know, out of our, what we observe in the marketplace, because you know, you don't have any authentic data on the size of unorganized players and all, but movement. Of course, you know, what has happened is that yes, this shift would continue as the consumer and brand awareness goes up. However, you know, what we also realize sometimes that, you know, when these oil pressures goes up, so a branded company cannot compromise on quality of product. So, you know, the right oil, you know, not used oil beyond a point. However, when we see the local players and organized stuff, so they do not get as impacted as from this stuff. So that's the only stuff and would vary from state to state. But yes, now if you look at on a trajectory of shifting from unorganized to organized, yes, that is also helping this category to deliver these kind of numbers.
Sure, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Dharmal Shah from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry. Follow-up question on the price increase again. When you are taking price increase or decrease, is it at Pan India level or is it based on the regions where maybe a region where you have a better brand, you can take more price increase? How is it decided?
So normally, based on region, so normally which region is having much impacted because product makes it different in every region. So we see region-wise and then eventually we take the price, right? Like MRP increase in family is naturally, that's what we do.
Okay. And would it be fair to assume that core set would have maybe slightly higher price increase than the focus, right?
No, it will not be the case. See, we get governed with UECP, which is Universal and Consumer Price. So if let's say a pack is 100 rupees MRP, it would be for consumer both 100 here and anywhere in that stuff. Right? However, what we do, as I was talking about, that price increase is also, you know, controlled by that if I was running 5% trade scheme, right, and which is withdrawn, so it's a kind of, you know, realization goes up by as much percentage. And this is what varies from state to state, looking at competitive pressure, looking at our ambition, and the strategic objective of why are we giving it. Is it a tactical or a strategic investment? So those differs from state to state. Rest price to consumer continues. So if there's an MRP increase, it will not be the case that it goes up in one state and does not happen in the other state.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Kumar from Scantam Wealth. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, I have a question. So we basically categorize our markets into core, focus and others. So I have a question. When does the shift from others to focus happen? So do we have a revenue threshold or a market share threshold when we start maybe pointing up other states into a focus state? And once we start doing that, what all changes?
Yeah, so I think that's a very good question. And we have spoken about it earlier also, but let me explain again. See, what we see is it's not about our internal stuff. It is purely external and from a consumer standpoint, from a shopper standpoint, right? So what we believe is that wherever, you know, when we are in a high single digit market share is what we can call that is can move upwards in the core state, and you know, say somewhere around 3 to 5, 3 to 7 will be the focus state kind of a stuff. Now the logic of cutting these geographies into three parts is that, you know, there in the states where our brand equity is strong, market share is relatively better, we do different kind of marketing initiatives there. in the states where we hardly are present or we are very poor present. So which is what currently parked in our other states. There, you know, it's less of marketing, it's more of route to market. That you make your products available in the stores kind of stuff. So these, you know, changes would not happen, you know, very random or very fast, but yes, it's a journey of 3 to 5 years. That's where you see that states would be moving up. So what we believe is that in next couple of years is what a few states from focus we would shift it to core, and you know we'll pick few states from others who are doing better or where we have our plans to invest yet. We'll shift to focus. To your question, what will we do differently is what we will start deploying, you know, people, you know, investment on grants and all this stuff would start happening in those states.
Okay, got it. Thank you. All the best for future.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Manoj, Rishabh, thank you for the opportunity. Just two quick questions. Fundamentally, in the times where the inflation, food inflation is high, consumers generally does the down trading. I'm just looking at slide 22, where you have been able to maintain your...
The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. Please stay on the...
Hello?
Yes, please.
Sorry, we lost you, so you have to pick up.
Yeah. So, on slide 22, I'm referring, you have been able to maintain the family pack contribution around 59-60%. The sense that most of the consumer companies are saying there is a down trading, there is a pack damage which will come down. Just tell me how you have been able to manage, because there is a competition angle also, because the competition scale has been going up and up in the snacking. And generally, my reference point is that in the snacking business, the small pack contribution would be about 45-50%. But you have been able to manage between 35-36%. So tell me what's happening with particularly about your company.
Yeah. So Shirish, one is that, you know, when we say and hear that, you know, it's a downtrading kind of a stuff happening. For our products, you know, if you look at any consumer who's been buying 1 kg pack, or say for that reason 400 gram pack will not move to a 13 gram or a 30 gram pack kind of a stuff. Also, the impulse pack, what we speak is more on the go kind of stuff, family pack is in-home consumption. So that's what we have not seen, those kind of shifts. Of course, you know, another thing what we attribute when we were doing this analysis article, so we did one campaign, Bikaji Khao, London Jao, so maybe to a certain extent that has also helped protecting our, you know, the family care pack, and this is where we are.
Okay. My second question is that in the context where e-commerce, quick commerce, these channels are penetrating faster, in the current context, snacking is a big segment and wholesale does give a lot of slip in terms of distribution and scale. Now, in your assessment, does wholesale channel is still relevant to you, and how does it help, and what are the activities you are doing to scale up the distribution?
Yeah, so certainly wholesale would always be, you know, be very, very, you know, integral part of our route to market structure. Because if you look at, you know, this category is available in about 9.2 million outlets, right? And the source to reach to these outlets, the media is wholesale or offers only. No company can afford to, you know, make their direct reach to anywhere close to these numbers. So that's where the role of wholesalers is. Now, kind of activations, what we do some, you know, wholesale deals, some extra discounting to wholesale, you know, in certain cases where the throughput of wholesale is very high, so there is an alternate day replenishment to the wholesale. So those are the things, you know, we do in that separate wholesale deal. So yes, wholesalers get disproportionate focus in this stuff.
And what would be our wholesale contribution to net sales?
So to our wholesale contribution would be upwards of about 50-55%.
Okay. But for the industry is very high, about 70%.
So our, as you Shirish spoke about that, our, you know, contribution of large pack is by far high. So yes, the companies who are purely into 5 and 10 rupees there, you know, this could be even higher in that stuff. And our coverage, you know, if you look at our reach is also not as high. I mean, I think once we reach, say, about 20 lakh outlets, so perhaps that's where the wholesale contribution will also go up and will also drive our reach in that case.
Okay. And last question, when I look back, say, sometime September, October, and then compare November, December, the promotion intensity discounting, which has gone up because the sales was not happening. In fact, Diwali has not met the expectation of most of the companies. Now, is that promotion intensity and discounting which you have seen in the market, some places, say maybe in the wholesale dominant places, is that intensity has come down because parallelly the commodity inflation is also inching up, or things are status quo in the month of Jan-Feb?
No, it has certainly come down, you know, in that stuff. So the companies are looking at increasing prices and all that stuff. So that's their thing.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sunil Shah from SRE PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, just to tell the numbers, and you know, the fourth quarter of last year has been one of the best ever for us, and we are stepping into this fourth quarter right now. So, clearly, you know, we have burden of our own overachievement of last year's fourth quarter. FY25 will degrow over FY24 in terms of the numbers. So, my point here is to understand from you, is there any strategic thought process which you are revisiting or relooking? You know, we have targets of rolling out about 350,000 outlets by next year or so. So, are we revisiting any of the fundamental structural things that we have thought of at the start of the year? And because, you know, this year has been tough and challenging, specifically the third quarter. So, is there any revisit on the broader thought that you have in the company? Or is it like a cyclical factor and then in the next 3-6 months? Maybe back on track. So just wanted to understand, is there any change in thought process, broader terms from the company's point of view?
No, there is no change in the thought. Largely, our focus is to drive direct reach. That's what our focus is. This year also, from day one, we started talking that this year we'll add close to 50,000 new outlets, and we are on track. Like, we have added close to 38,000 outlets, and in this quarter also, our target is on track. So that's what our drive is, to have close to 3 lakh outlets this year. And that's what our target was in this year.
So, anything on the product side, you know, Western snacks or something which is perhaps not doing well, are we revisiting any of those as well?
No, it's not like it's not doing well. Till quarter two, you'll see that Western snacks are doing very good. Third quarter, as I mentioned earlier also, so largely third quarter due to palm oil and potato price increase and not only potato also for few days. So we have stopped manufacturing of or reduced manufacturing of Western snacks specifically, and that's what has resulted in 0% zero growth. But the overall quarter in end of December again potato prices came in a normal level and they started to pressure at peak. So this quarter you again see the Western snacks going the same level what we are doing.
So this challenging environment, do you see any kind of, you know, elimination of competition from smaller players or anything, or
that it won't
change
substantially. Can you repeat me?
Hello? May I request you to repeat the question, please?
Sure. So this challenging environment, do we see elimination of competition of any some small organized players, or you know, this is too small a period in which, you know, we see elimination of competition?
So competition and small players, if you look at now, so that's the cycle, you know, these will come, few will go. That will always be happening kind of a stuff. Because, you know, certain, you know, companies not able to sustain, not able to, you know, survive in the kind of environment of inflation and all this stuff. So that always will be the story, you know. If you look at, say, Nielsen report, any of the states would have at least 200 reported companies, you know, who existed. And now few of them have weeded off. So, this is an ongoing cycle.
Okay, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, all the investors, for taking time out. Hopefully, we met your expectations in terms of answering the questions, whatever came up. We'll be happy to reach out to you, or you guys can reach out to us for any clarification you wish to seek. Thank you, organizers, for being patient and organizing for this call. Thanks again on behalf of Bikaji.
Thank you. On behalf of Bikaji Foods International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.